as we come together on this wonderful Lord's Day evening, continue for some and to join with others the worship of our God. It is always good to gather together to worship God. Those of us that are members of the Lord's church, we find in Scripture that we come together to provoke unto love and to good works. Those that are not members of the Lord's church gives you an opportunity to hear God's word and to be obedient unto it before it is everlasting too late. On this evening, I want to talk to you reference to our attitude. What is your attitude? We need to understand that there are many different attitudes that we can have in reference to God's word. We can accept it and accept it with a ready mind, as we find in Acts chapter 17, the verse is 11. Acts chapter 17, the verse is 11. As Luke writes, he states that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, these Jews, that they received the word with eagerness, examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. With a readiness of mind to listen to the word of God and to be ready to respond to it. And I believe that today that our attitude, it shows a lot about us. For those that are not in Christ, your attitude toward hearing the word and ready to respond to what you hear shows and tells a lot about you. Those of us that have obeyed and strayed away or been steadfast, our attitude tells a lot about us. The definition of attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. Typically, one that is reflected in a person's behavior. Now, you hear not only myself, but others as well, that talk about attendance. Our attitude toward not the message, or shall I say, not the messenger, but the message of coming together to worship God, coming together to provoke one another unto love and to good works. The Bible is very clear on what we're supposed to do. It is our responsibility to do those things. So what is your attitude? How do you feel when someone come to you and they correct you? How do you feel when someone come and they put something into your remembrance or want to, you know, probe you or provoke you to do the things that are right? What is your attitude? I mentioned this morning that Anita tells me from time to time to fix my face. My face a lot of times shows my attitude toward what is going on. Brother Mark and myself, from time to time when we're at the radio program, I may be recording it live. And I have to remember that when we're recording live, my facial expressions. Because someone may call in with a question and some, anyway, as Friday, my attitude was a little bit adjusted on Friday, and not in the right way. I got a little offensive on a caller, and if I would have been recording that, it would have shown all over my face. But I want us to understand that our attitudes toward God, it needs to show something positive. It needs to show our love toward Him and our willingness to do the things that we're supposed to do. So we're going to talk about our attitude on this evening. Our attitude towards the truth. Our attitude towards the truth. We all know and should know. If you don't know, keep living and you will know. How we feel about someone telling us a lie. How we feel about someone being dishonest with us. The opposite of truth is a lie. The opposite of honesty is dishonesty. So we have to be honest. And what I want to know tonight, this evening, is what is your attitude? Our attitude toward the truth. What are we doing to make God say, you know, this is my son. This is my child. Have you considered him? Have you considered her? What is going to allow God to look at us and say this on our behalf? Our attitudes. Our attitudes. In the book of Matthew chapter 17, and we know that it was said toward Job, when the devil came to approach God with the other sons of God. And he asked him, had he considered his servant Job? But we find here in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, once again. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, and Peter said to him, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. You know what the world is saying today? Don't listen to God. Don't listen to Jesus. Because he has given me a new revelation. They don't necessarily even use the term new or the word new. God has spoken to me. Their attitude toward what God is saying right here, they're ignoring that. He said, listen to my son. Listen to him. And if we will continue to look through scriptures, because the word of God does not lie. The word of God does not contradict itself. We go to the book of Hebrews, and the chapter is 1. Hebrews, and the chapter is 1. Because we have to understand and we have to come to reality here, our attitude toward God's word. Hebrews chapter 1 in the verses 1 said, long ago and at many times in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Why not listen to it? He was there in the very beginning. Why not listen to him? He's the one that went to the cruel cross of Calvary to die for our sins. Why not listen to him? Someone that is able to save us, why not listen to him? We find in the book of John chapter 1, in the book of John chapter 1, starting with verse 1, attitude towards the truth. John 1, 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Think about man and woman just for a moment. What did God say in the very beginning? Let us make man in our own image. Holy. He's not talking about looking like we look today. He's talking about holy. He's not talking about how many act today. He's talking about holy. One that understands what their life is supposed to be in reference to who our God is. Our lives are supposed to be holy. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what about the Word? What about the Word? The Word is true. John 17, 17. John 17, 17. as we were growing up, we would always like to be on a winning team. There were some of us that were picked last, and it wasn't necessarily because we weren't any good. We were just, you know, saved the best for last. But y'all know the real reason why many were picked last. But we have to understand the truth. The truth is this concerning God's word. In John 17, 17, sanctify them in thy word. Your word is truth. So there are some that were put over here. You go over here because you're so good, we don't want anyone to pick you right away. There were others that were put over here. You know why you're over here. Not because you're so good, but you got some little work to do. But we look at God's word. God's word needs no work. His word is truth. We don't need to add to it. We don't need to take away from it. We just need to do what it says. We can be set apart by his word. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. We're going to look at two things on this evening as we think about this, attitudes towards the truth. We're going to look at those that hear, and then we're going to look at the opposite. And we're going to go through this, and we're going to flip-flop to the positive, and then we're going to look at the negative. Because I want us to understand, you're going to do one or two things with God's word. You're going to either accept it or you're going to reject it. No one can make you do either one. It's a choice. And if you make the wrong choice, we read this morning out of Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, if you make the wrong choice, if you don't believe it, then in the very end, come judgment day, you will be cast into outer darkness. You will be cast into the lake which burns with fire. This is for eternity, not just for a short period of time, but throughout all eternity, you will be in the lake which burns with fire. The Bible said that's the second death. Because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this to judgment, according to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. But what about the truth? Are you willing to hear it? In the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and the verses 13, are you willing to hear the truth? I have some news for you. I have some good news for you. You know, we're ready for that. You know, we can get a phone call, and you know how we like to ignore our phones, or we push reject when someone calls us. Oh, that's not reject. They leave us a message, say, I have some good news for you. But they don't tell you what it is. You know what you're going to do? You're going to call them back right away. Sometimes, even if it's bad news, you're going to call them back right away. But the good news, we're ready to hear that. And if you're ready to hear it and you make that phone call and they give you the news that you've been waiting for a long time, you are so excited. Why not be that excited about God's word? Because it's good news. It's something that can save us. It's something that can not only save us in this life, but it can save us in the life to come throughout all eternity. Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse is 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. You believed it. There are many that have been like that. The church of Galatia, we're going to talk a little bit about them in just a moment. The church of Colossae, we may even talk about them. The church of Ephesus, we're talking about them right here. They heard it, they believed it, and they were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. See, we have to understand when we hear something and when it's good for us, we need to respond to it. But there are those that believe not what they hear. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the verse is 12. Those people that are full of lawlessness, those people that are participating in wicked things, that are filled with sin. He says, and let's start with verse 11, therefore God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, I believe that there are so many people today that would much rather just participate in the things of the world than to listen to God's word, to be obedient to the simple things that God has outlined for us to do. There's nothing hard about serving him. We choose not to. Because we like the ways of the world. We become like demons. We have loved this present world and we've gone back out into it. There may be someone sitting here right now that has gone back out into the world. You're sitting here just to be sitting here. You're not really focusing on worshiping God in a fashion that He's pleased with, because you're not really believing what you're hearing. See, we need to change our mindset. We need to change our attitude. We need an attitude adjustment. And that will cause you, once you get that attitude adjustment, that will cause you to do what's right. To be ready to hear God's word and ready to respond to God's word, because you know this is what's going to save you. The truth. You hear it. You ready to believe it. You ready to obey it. But then the truth, you hear it, but you really don't believe what you hear. And you know, we say that sometimes about death. When someone comes to us and they say, hey, old Fanny, she died. Oh, no, I don't want to believe that. Believe it. Believe it. Because the Bible is true. We will die. We will die. No one is going to live forever. So let's be prepared for that phone call when someone tells us someone that we have known for a long time has died. They're going to be judged according to what they have done. If they have heard the word and they believed it, and they have lived to be faithful, they've died faithful, they're going to be okay. But if they believed it not, they died without Christ, they're not going to be okay. The truth. We can know it, and we should know it. We should know it to the point of being ready to tell someone about it, tell someone what they need to do in order to obtain salvation, tell someone what they need to do in order to remain saved. The truth. This is what we're talking about once again. The truth. What is your attitude toward the truth? 1 Timothy chapter 2 and the verses 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and the verses 4. We talk about the truth, verse 3, this is good and is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people, not some, but all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. All people to come to the knowledge of the truth. The gospel is for everyone. You go and you preach to the world. You go and you teach all nations. Don't leave anybody out. Well, you know, I see those people down on that corner all the time. I don't think they're going to receive the truth. I don't think they're ready to hear what I have to say, what God has to say. You know what? That you may think that, but take the time and give them the benefit of the doubt. Tell them about God's word. See what they're going to do. See what their attitude is all about. See, there are many times where we have already, there's no hope for them. We were laughing earlier about when the brothers talking about somebody stealing the pens. He said, they're going to hell. It was pretty funny at the time. But you know what we have to realize? That we need to give people the benefit of the doubt. Maybe that person that took that pen from in the back there, maybe they didn't really mean to take it. If you're here, put the pen back, please. You don't have to repent. Just put the pen back. But that's what it's all about, isn't it? Getting our lives in order. Doing what we're supposed to do. The truth. We can know it. Chapter 4, verse 3. Chapter 4 and the verses 3. Let's go back up to verse 1, actually, and come down. Because there are some, again, as we talk about, have knowing the truth and have obeyed the truth, there are some that just, now I really don't care about the truth. He says here, now the Spirit expressly says, in the latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. You understand what we have to do here, reference to the truth? We have to study it for ourselves. We can't just listen to some man. Don't just listen to me. You know, I like to hear those pages turning. I like to see you as you look down and you get your electronic devices and you're looking up these scriptures, or you're looking at a cross reference and you see that the word of God is true. We're not adding to it nor taking away from it. We want you to be able to understand the truth. God wants you to be able to understand the truth. He wants you to obey it. I want you to obey it. We can know the truth. Again, we said it this morning, John chapter 8, verse 32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There are people that teach you can't know the truth. Yes, you can. It's too hard for you to understand. No, it's not. You can know the truth. Take the time. to sit down with someone and allow them to go through God's word with you, that you may have the opportunity to obey. And then we look at disobey. In the book of Romans chapter 2, Romans chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Romans chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If in fact the spirit, 2, I'm sorry, my bad, 2, verse 8 and 9. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also to the Greek. Those that do not obey the truth. Are you one of the ones that have not obeyed the truth? Are you one of the ones that obey, but now you're disobeying? The Bible says there's going to be something that waits for you. There's something that has been set up apart for you, but yet not necessarily for us. But remember who hell was prepared for: Satan and his angels. But those that disobey will be cast into that place out of darkness that was prepared for Satan and his angels. The dark. You know, it's dark outside right now. And you know, there are times where even as being grown-ups, Brother Mark, we're afraid to go out there in the nighttime. We don't know what's lurking around out there. I want you to realize this. Satan don't care whether it's light or dark. He's there. Again, as brother, that brother in the back there that keep hollering, hey man, his Bible says he's looking for someone to eat. Satan is hungry. He's out there roaring around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may eat. You know, I sort of like that. He's going to tear us apart first. He's going to tear us to shreds. He's going to turn us every which way but loose. So we have to understand that we need to know the truth, and we need to understand what we need to do with the truth. Not disobey it, but obey it. And as we obey the truth, we need to acknowledge it. We need to acknowledge it. Going back to the book of Timothy here, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24, we need to acknowledge it. Don't be afraid to acknowledge it. Remember, as Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. He was willing to acknowledge it. He was willing to tell people about the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. You see what he says there? Listen to it one more time. Verse 25, correcting his opponents with gentleness, God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. They may live long enough to repent. They may live long enough to get their lives in order. They may live long enough now to acknowledge, not that you have acknowledged to them, but them acknowledging to someone else. Let's not pick and choose, but let's be patient with those that oppose us, correcting his opponents with gentleness, the Bible says. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. And in Titus chapter 1, verse 1, Titus chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, the servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness and hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, at the proper time manifested his word through the preaching with which I have entrusted by the command of God our Savior. Once again, looking up at the first part of it, Paul is servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ for the sake of faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth. Their knowledge of the truth. How is anyone going to ever know how much you know about God's word? Unless you tell them. Unless you share it with them. Now, we're not trying to prove anything to any man. Remember, the Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy 2:15, that we study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, we're proving ourselves to God. But we need to share our knowledge with others so that they will not be lost. They're going to be without excuse. But you know, there are many that's going to blame things on others. I didn't obey because he never told me. I never obeyed because she never told me. She never shared God's word. You know, the song, you know, you never mentioned him to me. Do not let that be you.
Amen.
Study God's word. Share it with others.
Amen.
But then you have those, instead of acknowledging God's word, they resist God's word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the verses 8. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the verses 8. You know, as we look at these two men here, you go back to the book of Exodus chapter 7 and chapter 8. And you look at the plagues that God was sending to Pharaoh into the land of Egypt there. These men here are said to be the magicians that opposed Moses, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses. So these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. Just as they did, others will. Others have and others will oppose the truth. They don't want people to know that is true. They want to take them by the hand. They want to lead them away. But remember this, as they lead them away, it is blind guides leading the blind, and both shall fall into a ditch. See, we need to stand firm on God's word. Jude 3 says, contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. That's what we need to do. We need to understand the truth, and we need to acknowledge it and not resist it, like some have and some will continue to do. We need to believe it. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the verse is 13. We need to believe it. But we ought also to give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord Jesus, by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth that set you apart. You've been sanctified. We love that. We love to be an elite group, and that's what we are. We are in an elite group. We are a peculiar people, the Bible says. We are a part of a royal priesthood. We are heirs to the throne. We have been set apart because we have believed God's word and we obeyed it. But you know what happens? The opposite of that, we have people that speak evil of the truth. Why? Because they don't care about it. They want to continue to lead people away. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 2 and the verses 2. We go back up to verse 1 actually. Because we need to understand that these men are not of God. But false prophets also arose among the people. False prophets. You know, just as there were false prophets in their day, there are false teachers in our day. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destruction, heresies, and even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Verse 2, and many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. People are going to talk bad about God. They're going to talk evil about God. They're going to talk evil about his ways. They're going to talk evil about what Jesus Christ came to do. They're going to talk evil about his apostles. They're going to talk evil about us. Why? Because we're standing for the truth. We're opening up God's word and we're showing them what thus said the Lord. But yet people are speaking evil of it. They don't want to believe it. But yet they want to speak evil of it. What type of life are you living? What is your attitude? What is your attitude toward the truth? Do you love it? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the verses 10. Do you love it? If you don't love it, you need to learn to love it. You know, a lot of times people get married and they get married for different reasons. Some get married because she looks good. Some get married because he looks good. Some get married because they're ready to get away from home. Some get married because they've gotten pregnant. How many people have actually gotten married for love? A lot of times, it was because of infatuation or lust that they got married. But you know what they did over a period of time? they learn to love one another. And a lot of times they have learned to love one another because someone has told, hey, it's your wife, you married her. The Bible says one woman, one man for life. I don't have a choice but to love her. You have a choice, but you choose to love her. You choose to love him. And that's what we need to do with God's word. We need to choose to love God's word, love the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2 and the verse is 10. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power, and false signs and wonders, and with all wickedness, deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. So we need to choose to love it instead of reject it. It's clear. The Bible says that they refused to love the truth. They had a choice. You don't like it? Let's put it over here and give it to Mikey. Mikey began to eat it. Hey, Mikey, he likes it. Mikey had a choice, and Mikey made the right choice because it was good. The truth is something that is good, something that we need to choose to love, not reject, not refuse, but accept it because it is God's word, not lie against it. James chapter 3 and the verse is 14, not lie against it. You know, it's easy to tell a lie about the truth. But you know, as you tell that lie, you need something to back it up. And everyone that lied about God's word, everyone that lies about God's word, they have nothing to back it up. It is something that some man has written. It is not God's word. So that's what we need to realize. So lie against it. That it's your choice again. James chapter 3 and the verses 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. See, this is something that we have in us. Jealousy, envy. And there's a list of a whole lot of other things that we can have in us that'll make us lie about the truth. Someone has done something against you, they'll come to you and they ask you to forgive them for it, but yet you're holding a grudge. It's going to cause you to lie about the truth. Let's not do that. Let's accept the forgiveness of others and let's forgive them for what they have done to us. And let's move on. Let's not lie about the truth. But there are some that lie about the truth. James said, this is not from above. This is not wisdom from above. This is something that man has instilled in you. Never forgive them. Always hold a grudge. It's okay to be jealous. It's okay to be envious. It's okay to have this selfish ambition about you. That's man. That's not God. So we need to see what God says instead of what man says and do the things that's right, reference to the truth. We need to obey it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, we need to obey it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter 1, 22. Having purified your souls by the obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly with a pure heart. Obey the truth. Obey the truth and not pervert it. And not pervert it. See, it's easy, once again, to look at God's word and see what we need to do. And it's easy to do it. But once you do it, do not allow someone to come in and teach you something that's not right, that has perverted what God's word says. In the book of Galatians chapter 1, where we find that these men came in after the Galatians had obeyed the truth, they have come in and they have tried to lead them away, lead them astray. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you to a grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. Now we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone, I want you to hear that, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. Now, we're quick to say, I remember what mom taught me. I remember what dad taught me. I remember they showed me in scripture. But you know, there's this new gospel come out now. There's this new thing. There's this new thing that people are saying, and I want to believe them because it seems to be more feasible. And we need to get back to God's word.
Amen.
And we need to open it up, and we need to study it in order that we may be pleasing to God. Then, of course, I already quoted 2 Timothy 2:15. We need to rightly divide the truth. We need to rightly divide the truth. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. The old, the new, whatever command was for them, whatever command is for us. We need to understand those things, and we need to teach it the way it is written and not add to it nor take away from it. But then there are those that hinder. Instead of rightly divide, they want to hinder the truth. In Romans chapter 1, the verses 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their ungodliness suppress the truth. They live in the way they want to live. And what they're doing is they're causing others not to respond to the gospel, because here's the attitude of people. Well, you call yourself a Christian and this is what you're doing? Why should I become one? Why should I become one? God has something for them.
Amen.
And he has something for you that have that attitude, because you're looking at the life of some man that is living in sin, when you need to be studying for yourself.
Amen.
When you need to be doing what you know to be right.
Amen.
And we need to be established in it. And we do not need to err from it. If you look at those scriptures, go ahead and write them down real quick. Well, Brother Brown pulled this lever on me up here. We need to walk in it. We need to walk in it. We need to walk in truth. 2 John in the verse is 4. 2 John in the verse is 4. I rejoice greatly to find some of you children walking in the truth. Some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. Walking in the truth. Listening to God's word. Hearing God's word. And walking the way we're supposed to be walking, because we know it's right. But not going back and looking at Romans chapter 1, verse 25, and changing the truth into a lie. That's what Paul says into the Romans. They changed the truth into a lie. They were doing the things that were not right. Man with man and woman with woman, the things that were unnatural, they were doing those things. We need to wake up. We need to realize what the truth is all about, and we need to speak it. And we need to speak it in a bold manner. We need to speak it with confidence that men may understand that the truth has been taught and that the truth needs to be obeyed, according to Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse is 15. 4:15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, and not turn away from it. Remember, that's what it says there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. There is going to be a time where they're not going to want to hear the truth, but they're going to heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need that.
Amen.
What we need is the truth, and we need to obey it. The truth. The truth is very clear. We need to hear it. We need to know it. We need to acknowledge it. We need to believe it. We need to love it. We need to obey it. We need to rightly divide it. We need to be established in it. And we need to walk in it. And we need to speak it. And you know what's on the other side. Which side are you willing to be on? I want you to know right now, it's a winning team right here. Those cats over there, I didn't say that, did I? That's not how I meant it. Those are the losers. In the end, it's all going to come out. Those that are for God, they're on the winning side. Those that are against God, they're on the losing side. Which side are you on? How do you acknowledge the truth? What is your attitude toward the truth? If you're here this evening, you're not a Christian, the opportunity is yours to become one, to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to have your sins washed away in the water of your baptism. If you're here and you are a Christian and you're straight away, it is time to make up in your mind where you want to spend your eternity. For tomorrow is not ours. James says your life is but a vapor that appeared for a little time. One moment you're here, the next moment you're gone. It's like a vapor. One moment here, next moment gone. You ride down the road a block, it could be so foggy. Go to the next block and you can see clearly. How's your life? If you're hearing yourself to temptation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.